way, but I'm still wondering why voices from 3 rooms away from mine is entering my room and trying to just disrupt production. Well, whether it's the devil at work or human beings that decided to love their voice at this ungodly hour that I'm recording, whatever it is, but it's annoying. Okay, welcome to another episode on Sunday Podcast with Susan Abeta, and welcome to the show. So I really was hoping that maybe this week we'll be talking about something about not getting afraid, starting from where you are and all those things, but the train is taking us to something about relationship, and well, disclaimer, I may not be the best person to tell you about relationship because I've not had it so beautiful personally in my relationship with people, but as I'm telling you this, I believe God is also telling you this, and God is also speaking to me. So it's more like bringing us to what God would like us to do about our relationship, the things we somehow ignore that at the end of the day bite us so deeply and comes as painful. Like, God, why? What were you doing? Why this happened to me? Like, don't vex. Yes, relax. I believe God has something to tell us about our relationship. And now, another disclaimer. This is not just about relationship between a man and a woman about to get married. This also includes your relationship with your colleague at work, your relationship with your friends, your acquaintances. Yes, it's encompassing, and I pray that God will shed his light on us. So the scripture, the leading scripture for today is Ruth 1 verse 16. I know we're all familiar with it, especially in Nigeria. If you have attended a wedding in a Baptist church or Anglican, you would have heard entreat me not to leave you. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Those words may come out so casual and be like, oh, they just said their vow, it's so beautiful, I mean, I declare them Mr. and Mrs. Now, this box of truth is beyond a marital relationship. And surprisingly, the first time and the only time it was used in the scripture has nothing to do with a marital relationship. It was the relationship between his daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law. Her sister-in-law left because she realized that word was too much of a commitment. When she was begged to leave and go back home, yeah, she made a decision to go back home because she felt home would be better than making a covenant on a journey I know nothing about. And so I'm going to read from a different version. And okay, before we go really deep in, so I don't know who needs to hear this. Ruth 1:9 was saying, "And may the Lord make it possible for you to be married again and have a home. And may the Lord make it possible for you to be married, to marry again and have a home." I don't know what the storm is in your marriage. I don't know what the drama has been. You could have even walked through a divorce or a separation. My prayer for you today is that may the Lord make it possible for you to be married, to marry again and have your home. Well, I've never been married, so to me it was like so for me the narrative is, And may the Lord make it possible for me to be in love again, or marry and have a home. I paraphrase it because I've never been married and I wanted the scriptures to speak to me. So, I don't know which stage you are, married, divorced, not yet married, have you had it rough? I bring to you the word of hope, because the Lord is going to make it possible for you to love again and marry and have a home. Okay, so moving into Ruth 1 verse 16. But Ruth answered, "Do not ask me to leave you. Let me go with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and that is where I will be buried." Like, wow, somebody is saying that to a mother-in-law. That's a deep level of commitment. It's deep. I don't know what the question will be. That your friend, that your bestie, that your guy, not my guy, are you committed to him? Are you committed to her? That your babe, that your boo, what's the level of commitment? Commitment is a deep thing, and I think only few people have learned what it means to be committed to people or be consistent in a relationship. So, do not ask me to leave you. Some of us are so quick to jump out when there are challenges. We are the first to fly. We are the first to tear down our friends. We are the first to not believe in their goals. We are the first with the most destructive criticism. We leave them battered, broken, destroyed more than we met them. We are the ones with the bad mouth and the bad words. Me and Osendo, I will tell you as it be, Alaye. I know say you won't tell us it be, but what is your posture when there is a challenge? Is the first thing to you flight or fight? Do you take to flight or you fight for what you share? Well, why is this not working? Why can't it work? Well, what are we not doing right? What should we do better? Ruth was telling Naomi, don't ask me to leave you. Let me go with you. Oh, this is something we can talk through. This is something we can pray through. This is something we can discuss. What is your first response? Are there times where I've actually taken to flight? Yes, because there were some fights I know I could not fight. Especially when it comes to opposite sex. There are some fights that I cannot fight. And as I continue this podcast, I'm going to talk about them in clearly, but not in details. Because there are just some fights that you know that you are just in it alone. Some fights we fight ourselves. Some fights we fight with God. Some fights we fight with people. And some fights we leave them. We don't even go close to them. We let them be. Do you get? So, wherever you go, I will go. That your friend, that your babe, that your boo, are you headed in the same directions? If they see the two of you, they are like, oh, what do you, like, how do you perceive your life? Well, some people perceive their life in a bright direction. Some people perceive their life in an hopeless direction. It is obvious that the two of you are not going the same way. Different people on different journey. That is what it is. So, are your mindset, is there an alignment in your direction? No, somebody may be called to the education, somebody may be called to agriculture, somebody may be called into tech, STEM. You have different callings, fine. But is your direction? Okay, let me talk about direction. Are you God-centric? Are you people-centric? Are you money-centric? Or are you selfish? Somebody who is selfish and somebody who is God conscious cannot work on the same path. You will have issues. Because you will not be able to say that wherever you go, I will go. Okay, if you're a friend, okay, maybe you're someone that believes, so let's pray together, let's study the scriptures, and your friends are like, let's party, let's club. You're already in different directions. You cannot go where they go. It will be very difficult to say where you go, I will go. Because your directions are different. Oh, where you live, I will live. And now let me just take this and let me take a diversion to a committed relationship like marriage. See, I am not married yet, but there is no point living where your husband is not living, where your wife is not living. There may be some issues, maybe in locations where the husband or the wife have to move before the wife, the husband or the spouse. But let your goal be to stay together. Where you stay, I will stay. I'm not going to leave you. You will not look back or look behind, beside, and I will be fine missing. And this commitment should come into friendship too. Like, I don't understand why your friends don't find you a safe place. You should not be a people pleaser, yes, but your friends should find you a safe place. You should be free with your friends. When you are with your friend, you are not trying to perform or to perform any of your friends. You are just being yourself. You are your honest self 100%. That is, you are supposed to be in a space where you are safe, where you are free, where you can ask questions and don't be judged. So when you check your friends and be like, you can't stay here, or you go out and you go back home feeling less of yourself, feeling like you're not enough, my dear, my guy, seems you're in the wrong circle of friends. Yes, some friendship prepares us to grow. Yes, our friendship should prepare us to grow and not be static. But whenever and wherever you go, you can't go back home dejected. Oh, my life is not working. See my friends. Maybe you're in the wrong circle of friends. Or maybe your friends don't take you as friends, you know. You know, this thing is hilarious. So when I was in secondary school, I remember there's this group of five jolly friends. Surprisingly, we're not five jolly friends. We're just five people that flocked together, though we were different kind of people. So it got to a time that, okay, in the five, D and C were together, E and R were together, and Susan was just the odd one out. Then I was in HGS too. I didn't even know what came upon me. I just wrote a letter to them. And I was like, see, I am not interested in a friendship that makes me feel less of myself. I was fine academically. We are all brilliant. And I was fine, but anytime I'm with them, I feel less of myself. My parents were doing very enough. My parents paid my school fees on time. I attend school. I get to school very early. So I was feeling less of myself. So I said, oh no. So in the letter, I actually made... Well, this is so hilarious. So in the letter, I made a grammatical error. I think I'm supposed to use have. Okay, you have. So I use as. Do you know that this group of friends picked it up, and whenever I pass, you ask. I was wondering, where did it come from? Then maybe a term after, one of them was not like, it was in the letter you wrote to us, you made a grammatical error. How are we going to work with you like that and everything? And then I was so good in debate. I represent my class, my club. So at that point, I knew this friendship was not meant for me. I was young, but I was able to know that this friendship was not meant for me. So maybe it's that circle of friends. The best they could have done was, Susan, are this supposed to be you have? Not yours. So that's just by the way. So where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. When things are bad, when things are good, can we still be the same person? Can I endure a face with you? Can I be your burden bearer? Can I hold your hand through the tunnel? Well, there's no tunnel. There's no tunnel in Nigeria. Anyways, can you hold my hand through the time? Can we pray together? Can you watch my back? Where you stay, I will stay. You can find protection. You can be safe with me. Your people will be my people. See, it could be very crazy, but the one thing about me is that if you are actually my friend, my family knows you. If you are my significant others, my friend knows you. If you have not met any of my friend, then you are dating yourself. And now it comes to me when I talk with you, and doesn't seem your family knows me. Maybe I'm talking about my significant other now, or you're talking with your family and I feel like an outcast in the conversation, and I'm your significant other. Then there is a question: what are we doing, guy? What is going on? Clonshala, baby. So your people will be my people. See, it's another level of commitment. It is okay to go where they go, to stay with them when things are good and bad. But are there people you can recommend on tables that matter? Can you say, "Na my guy B, I recommend them"? Opportunity will come. You'll be like, say, "I beg me, you know, tell her, me, you know, tell her, me, you know, say this one day for my workplace. Make you know, this opportunity, this chance, they may ujakwa." Your people will be my people, my circle of influence, my opportunities, my $1 million Rolodex group. You have access to them. There is one thing that has helped me over the years, that if you are my friend, at least once in a year, you're going to meet with another friend of mine. And I can be sure that you guys can be friends and deep friends without me even being a middleman. Because I'm ready to make my people your people. So when you're my friend and I'm the only one saying, "Oh, this opportunity is here, oh, this," there is a problem. If you're the only one bringing in commitment of people, have you met him? Oh, that's my guy. And at his end, you've not met any of his friend or any of her friend. You've not even met any of her siblings or any of his siblings. Like, yeah, you're dating yourself when you're in a friendship with yourself. Your people will be my people. I can go, "Oh, this is my friend. Oh, this is my babe. This is my boo." But when that connection, when that level of commitment is withdrawn from you, it's a time to evaluate that friendship. There's one of my friends from Ekiti. When she's speaking with her mom, they speak in their dialect. If the mom calls me like, "Are we enko?" I know somehow, G mama knows me. My mom calls, my dad calls, "Oh, is your friend?" They know my friend. They ask about them by their name. That's a beautiful thing. Your people will be my... I'm not talking about my boo now. I'm single. Anyways. I'm talking about my girlfriends, my friends generally. My parents know them, my siblings know them. My friends knows my friends, even they've not seen before. My people will be your people. I am willing to bring you into my circle of influence. They may be small, they may not be the big bang now, but I'm willing to open you opportunities to the people I've met. Oh, it would be great that you have opportunities and you can recommend your friends, because you have taken them as your person. "Oh, now my guy did this, now my baby this, now my show person this, now my party." That person you are calling your party, are you opening up opportunities to them, or you're just putting them in this? And yes, if you're listening to this and you've been the friend or the babe or the boob that keep receiving opportunities from your significant others and your friends, and people around you have access to where you stay, your movement, your mindset, the opportunities around you, don't you think you're parasitic? Don't you think you're selfish? Don't you think? I won't say Ruth's sister-in-law was dramatic. She knew she could not commit to something that deep, and she left. So if that kind of commitment is not for you, take a leave. Talk as two grown-ups or two young ones and end the ship or the friendship, because it is not working. Yes, and your God will be my God. Wow. Your God will be my God. There is this thing, well, particularly this particular question I asked a prospect. "Hello, guy. If things get difficult and we've done all we can do, or even before we do what we can do, can we hold hands together and pray?" Somebody said, "You know, we have to be wise." I'm like, see, there is a God factor in my own life. And I understand that you're not just doing church. So when things go bad, or when things are beyond what we can do, we made a human effort, can we hold hands together and trust the God we can? And your God will be my God. Okay, so when was the last time you prayed for your friends? when was the last time you prayed for your friends? When we were in school, I know of a friend that wrote, I had a journal, I wrote the name of all my friends and I prayed for them every morning. At the point I stopped, yes. But I think this year I've been back to it. I pray for my friend consistently. Through every phase of all my married friends, their marriages are blessed. The ones with children, their children are grown up in the fear of the Lord. The ones with jobs and challenges. I pray for my friends in different phases of their life. When was the last time you prayed for your friend? When was the last time you found a word of comfort or encouragement and said to your friend? When was the last time God spoiled your heart? Even maybe you don't even remember your friends. Maybe is your prayer just about you? Your God will be my God. Can you be on your knees for your friends? Not because they are paying you or because you enjoy from their financial returns. These are commitments. I used to say something. The deepest level of commitment you can have to anybody is that you pray for them. Is that you pray for them. If you come to a point that you pray for people, I can guarantee you that there is a space in your heart for this person. That you are deeply committed to them. Just, you know, it takes a level of love and concern to say, God, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray for all my friends that are getting married in this year, 2024, that you make their home a beautiful one. You take a level of intentionality. Lord, I pray for all my friends that trust in you for your job, that you give them a job that will fit their status in Christ. It takes a level. It's like you have thought about them and you're concerned about them and you bring them to your prayer and your God will be my God. So I've said this, you could sit down and check your own life. Which kind of friend are you? The one that is committed or the one that does not care? If your friend is hiding you, then she is scamming you. If your boo or baby is hiding you, she is not interested in you. And probably there's another significant other that is more significant than you. So, my dear, check the commitment of the people around you. October every year, I take my time to evaluate my friendship with people, and I intentionally cut off friendships that are not growing. I'm not talking about, oh, I cut off this person because she's not where I am. No. I ensure there is a time, at least once every year, I will call every of my friends, to my childhood friends, at least once every year. I'm someone that have a lot of friends, I have about 1,000 contacts. So at least once every year, I will call one every of my friends, and it doesn't have to be your birthday. But I will know that this year I spoke with you, and this is where. And so if I want to pray with you, I pray for you with the understanding, okay, this is where baby T is, this is where Beth is. I pray for them with that understanding. Your friends don't have to whine you. You don't need a lot of reassurances for your friends to come through for them. You don't need a lot of whining, a lot of dragging. Half an hour, this. It should be voluntary. And honestly, no matter how much you care about some people, some friendship needs to go. It's painful, but some friendship needs to go. Some relationship needs to break. You truly know that you're not where you're supposed to be, but you just have to, this one too. Some friendship needs to go. And some friendship or relationship needs some work. Put in the work. Don't do kill Sarah, Sarah. What will be, will be. Sometimes what will be, will not be. We have to make the effort to make them be. Even the scripture says, work at your salvation with fear and trembling. Be diligent about your friends. Be committed. See, it's not because I'm trying to count my loss than my... See, we win some, we lose some. No matter how much you try, there are some friendships we'll still lose. Okay, this... Okay, that was 2009, 2010. That was when my scenario happened with my girlfriend in GS2. Now, this is about... This is about 14 years down the line, and I'm only in contact with one of them. Personally, I still try to call some of them on their birthday, but they don't even respond. So you see what? There are some friendships that have to go. It's not because you are not putting the work, but you know they are not meant to be. And some friends are for a season. Some friends are for a reason. And some friends are for a lifetime. Know where these people belong. Know where your friends belong and do the needful. Stop beating yourself up and hard for something that is not meant to last forever. But if you are in marriage, my dear, your marriage is meant to last forever. So if you are still single and not yet married, tick the dot. Can I go where he or she is going? Can I stay where he or she is staying? Will I be their burden bearer? Will ease or our people be my people? Will ease or our God be my God? If you are not sure about this thing, then don't commit. Man stress, man waste time, don't even stress. So I think this is going to be one of the longest podcasts from this end, but this thing must be mature. To love people is an intentional effort. To stay with people takes a lot from us. Tanya, where is your partner? Where is your bestie? Is the energy mutual? Or you are fetching water into your basket? And when I talk about where you stay after, I'm not talking about Lekki, Agege, Ugumosho, UK, US, Erua. Okay, Ogunshaki. No, I'm not talking about just the location. In your mindset, in your ideology, are you in the same place? Somebody believes in growth, somebody believes in being like a Jessica. You are in different direction, my dear. Different direction. Your people, physical, biological, your guys, your babe, your people, I want Temi, I want Sia. Even to your spiritual family. Your physical, your biological family, to your spiritual family, not just your circle of friends, not just your circle of opportunities, to your spiritual family, your people will be my people. And your God, my God. Who is your God? Who is your God? Money, people, God? Who is your God? Things? So can you go where your friends go? Can you stay where your friends stay? Can you call their people your people? And your God, one way to know. Parental work or life brings you to a place where you have no family. But your friends have family there. Would that family accommodate you? Your people, my people. I've enjoyed that. But ask yourself that question. See, I know, if I start working in Ekiti tomorrow and it's in the region or town that my G's mama they stay, I don't get accommodation with that. I don't go even stress. And if I enter by SR today, I know, I don't go sleep outside. Your people, be my people. Your God, my God. I know God has said something to you. I know something. I want to believe something has hit you differently. And yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. This comes to your expressions of how much you care about your friends. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know. You know those of you that feel like your birthday should be the center of attractions and your friend's birthday is nothing. Maybe we should go and repent. Yes, you people should go and repent. You feel that feel like on your birthday, everybody, you have credit alert disease, and on their birthday, you don't even, ordinary call, SMS, you don't remember. I'm talking about your friends. I know some acquaintances have expectations from us and everything. Your friend. I'm not even talking about your boo or babe, because I know there are some senseless babes and boos that don't even know what to do. Express how much you care about people. Let them know you are important. Let them know they are important to you. They are making an important life decision. You may not be there physically, but let them know that you actually care about their decisions and you are interested in their in the space they are. So help us, God. Lord, we know you love us. See, this level of commitment may be strange to someone who has not experienced the love of God. Be like, what's my business? Wait. Let me show you to a fold that works, because our trademark is love. Because God is love. If you have not experienced the kind of love that Jesus gave to the world, you may not know how to be intentional about people, their life, their purpose, their journey, their directions, their mindset, their growth. You find it strange because the way the world runs is tit for tat. You do me good, I do you good. Do me bad, I do me bad. But beyond that, there's the way that love, there's the steadfast love of our God never ceases. His mercies never run to an end. They are new every morning. Have I been pained? Yes. Have I experienced deep hurt? Yes. Do I still love my friends very well? So much. So much. There is a love that makes loving easier. I pray for you. If you've not come to the love of Jesus, I pray that the love of God constrains you. I pray that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. I pray that you come to know what is the depth, the breadth, the length of the love of God. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Thank you so much for taking about half an hour to listen to this episode. Thank you so much. I pray that you enjoy love continuously. Please don't forget to share with a friend. So let's start from here. The things you listen to, how well do you share with your friends? The opportunities around you, how well do you share with your friends? Share with your friends. Maybe they don't know. They are not even putting in effort to the friendship or the relationship. Maybe this is the light they need. Maybe this is the insight they've been waiting for long enough to catch the signal that they could do better. So please share with your friends, share with your colleagues at work, share with your sister-in-law, your friends, share with someone that you care so much about. I hope to see you again next Sunday on Sunday Podcast with Susanna Better. Thank you.